right, at this time the King's kids can be dismissed. So you guys can head out to the gym. Get those patches, memorize those verses. I really enjoyed King's Kids. We didn't do the memorization of everything, we didn't do the little verse cards that they have. They have, I believe it's a verse, and then you memorize maybe the books of the Bible. And it's been a long time since I was in King's Kids, but whenever we pulled those out, I really enjoyed that, because if you said a certain number of them, we got to go in our treasure chest. And that was just the best thing in the world to little old me. If you would, please, take your Bibles tonight. I'm going to surprise you. I'm going to ask you to turn to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. As you know, we've been going through James, and we were in James chapter 3 last week. We talked a little bit about the tongue. And as with every time we open God's Word, I hope that when you went home that week, you were able to take a chance to apply those truths that we learned about the tongue, and maybe it caused you to think a little bit more before you spoke this past week. Maybe it caused you to actually change something you may have said to somebody, or hold your tongue when you might have talked to them. And that's obviously the whole idea of why we go through and why we teach stuff out of the Bible, is so that we can apply it. And so this week, I'm going to pivot just a little bit. We're going to be in Acts chapter 11, once again. And I come to this lesson because in the past few weeks, the topic of our church as a family has seemed to come up a lot in both the lessons that I've taught, things that preachers said. And tonight's lesson, I'm hoping to try to highlight one of the essential elements of family life, and that is encouragement. Encouragement. And tonight we're going to look at a man found in the Bible. We're going to look at Barnabas, the encourager. But if we could, I'd like to bow our heads for a word of prayer as we get into the lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you once again for this night that we can be in church. I pray, Lord, that you would be with this lesson as it goes forth. Use it. Help me as I teach, Lord. Give me the words that I ought to say. And I pray, God, that it would be a blessing to these folks here and an encouragement, Lord. Please give us good rest this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I think that everybody at some point or another struggles with discouragement from time to time. Because the fact is that we as people, we're not robots. Man, woman, young or old, we all have emotions. And we all have feelings. And we all struggle sometimes. We all struggle with being discouraged. And this topic might seem more timely to me, and it might bear a little more weight to me. You know, a preacher talks sometimes about how when you buy a silver car, you see silver cars everywhere, right? And that might just be why this topic has been on my mind. But coming back from old paths, one of the big reasons that Northwest has that conference for preachers and people that are in ministry is to encourage those preachers and their families. You know, preachers don't often get preached to, so I'm glad that preacher is able to be there this week and get preached to. It's good. Everybody needs to hear it, and it's different preparing messages versus getting to sit down and hear them and enjoy something that somebody else has prepared, and hear from God in a different way when you're getting to listen to preaching. But I believe that we can see all throughout Scripture that being an encourager is a wonderful and it's an essential trait that we need to nurture. If you think about it, Jesus was an encourager. Preachers are commanded to exhort or encourage. And Christian brothers are told to encourage, to exhort, to help Christian brothers. And so tonight we're going to look at Barnabas. He's a man who is mentioned 29 times in the Bible. And he was known for this one trait specifically. He was known for being an encourager. We're going to look at his life and we're going to see what traits he developed that we can seek to emulate, that we can seek to apply in our own lives. And this lesson was born out of reading our text for the message tonight, and that's going to be found in Acts chapter 11. I already asked you to turn there. Verses number 23 and 24, where the Bible says, "Who, when he came," this is Barnabas, "and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted," or encouraged, "them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." That's all we'll read for now. But I would hope that I have lived and will continue to live the kind of life that this same thing could be said of me. I want to be known as a good man who's full of the Holy Ghost. Not for my own glory, not so that people can look at me and say what a good guy he is, but so that other people are pointed to the cross and other people are added unto the Lord, like you see here, because of Barnabas and because of his testimony. The first time that we see Barnabas mentioned is in Acts chapter 4, and we're going to be there in a little while. But in this passage, we learn that Barnabas was a Levite and that he was associated with the church at Jerusalem. That's where he was from. Well, Well, maybe not from, but that's where he was when we first see him. And this would be the church that prayed and had the Holy Ghost descend upon them. And a few verses after that takes place, we see that Barnabas was one of the people in that early church who sold all that he had and he gave it to a church that had all things in common. And it's also in this passage that we learn something interesting about Barnabas, and that is that that was actually not his given name. He was actually called Joseph, or Joseph. And Barnabas was a name that was given to him because of what he was. And in Acts 4:36, we see that the name Barnabas means son of consolation. Barnabas was a comforter. That's what somebody who consoles somebody is. He was a comforter. He lifted people up in such a way that that one trait is what he was overwhelmingly known for. And that was the character trait that people immediately thought of when they were referring to Joseph. He earned that title. He earned the name Barnabas by how he lived. And I got to thinking when I saw this, you know, the message was born out of wanting to be able to be described like Barnabas. But I got to thinking about some titles that I've earned throughout the years. One of the titles that I've earned throughout the years is Twister. And that is because whenever I go fishing, you can imagine why I've earned the title Twister. I mean, and that thing is wrapped around a branch 19 times, and we got to use the trolling motor and get into the shore to untie that line. And, you know, I'll cast, and then the reel is all jammed up because I earned the nickname Twister. It's what I've been called for years. Anytime I went fishing, oh, Twister's back. I've earned the nickname Coach throughout the years. That was when I was helping to coach a softball game at a church that I was interning at. The one girl was being sassy. I was like, hey, get over here. She was like, okay, Coach. And it stuck. I was just Coach for the rest of the summer that I was there. I was Coach. I earned that title from what I did. One that preacher has lovingly bestowed upon me a couple times from the pulpit is Nerd. I've earned the title Nerd because of what I am. That's fine. I accept it. You don't wear glasses like this and not expect to be called a nerd. We earn titles, and Barnabas earned his title. And it was obvious that as we see his life play out throughout Scripture that we're going to look at tonight, that Barnabas didn't do the things that he did for the glory of earning that title. Barnabas did what he did out of a genuine concern for others. And we're going to look tonight at some of the reasons that he was known as an encourager. One of the first places I'd like you to turn is over to Acts chapter number 4. I said we'd be there in just a little bit. But Acts chapter 4, we're going to read verses number 36 and 37. Remember, we said that Barnabas was not his given name. His name was Joseph or Joseph. So Acts chapter 4, verse number 36 says, "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is, being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." First aspect of being an encouragement tonight that I'd like to talk about is that Barnabas was generous. He was generous. And what we've seen here in our text is that he was generous with his possessions. And I'd like to say to you tonight that this is an essential part of being an encouragement. I'm not saying that you can't encourage somebody without giving them money. I'm not saying that you have to give away all that you own so that you could be known as somebody who is an encourager. But what I mean when I say you need to be generous with your possessions is that you ought to have a willingness to make an investment in the lives of others. An investment comes in many forms. This can be a monetary investment. It can be the investment of time. But no matter what, there needs to be a certain level in all of our lives of just unselfish generosity and a willingness to give. And this, I think, was evident in Barnabas' life from the very first time he's mentioned in Scripture here. It says that he, having land, sold it and brought the money and he laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, as we already mentioned, he was a member of the early church at Jerusalem. And this church was under great persecution. This was the early days of the church, and these folks were losing all that they had because not only have they followed Christ, but they have essentially renounced Judaism, which was every part of their life. And so they are going through it, to put it bluntly. They were really going through it. And they were small, and they were under the oppression of the religious leaders in Jerusalem, and they were under the oppression of their family, and they were ostracized from their society. And, you know, that if we look back, that's why they originally had to pray to God for boldness, because they were living in a time when they were being persecuted and when they really had to be bold in order to make a stand for what they believed in. And Barnabas was one of those people that sold all that he had and he gave it to the church in order that he might be a help during their time of great need. I think you notice that he had land, he sold it, he brought the money. It doesn't say he brought some of the money, it just says he brought the money. He withheld nothing. And this was just for the sake of being an encouragement to those brethren. It was for the sake of being a help. It wasn't for his own glory. He withheld nothing because he saw a need and he wanted to meet that need. He was generous with what he had. He was generous with what God had blessed him with. And that is, it's in direct contrast with the spirit of say, Ananias and Sapphira, who went and they sold what they had. They sold their land and they brought the money and they said that they had brought all of it, but they actually held back a part. They were just trying to get in on this, I guess, glory train that you could talk about. They weren't actually giving of their own. They weren't giving to be a help. They weren't giving to encourage one another. They were giving so that people would look to them and say, man, what a great Christian Ananias and Sapphira are. And they lied to God. They lied to the apostles. They lied to God. And they were punished with their lives for that, for lying to the Holy Ghost. But this right here, we see in verse number 37 that Barnabas, he was generous with his money. He was generous with his possessions. He was willing to make investments where investments needed to be made. The second thing that we're going to look at is found back in Acts chapter 11. If you'll turn there with me yet again. Back to our text, we're going to look specifically now at verse number 26. And we're going to see that not only was Barnabas generous with his possessions, but Barnabas was generous with his time. Verse number 26 says, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people." And we'll stop reading the verse right there. But this is talking about a time when Barnabas went to Tarsus to seek Saul, and he brought him back. It says, "When he found him, he brought him unto Antioch." And it says that they were there assembled together for an entire year. Now, Barnabas, if we were to read back in the book of Acts, we would see that he was sent from his church at Jerusalem to go out as far as to Antioch. And he went out to go and retrieve Saul, who would later become Paul. This was the beginning of their journeys together. But I'd like you to notice that those journeys took time. Those journeys that Barnabas took, they took time. And Barnabas was willing to invest that time because he was generous enough to be an encouragement with that time. I mean, just at this first stop, this first church that they went to on this journey at Antioch, they stopped for an entire year. Spent an entire year at this church at Antioch. And he was just another church member there, but he was willing to invest a year in the lives of the people that were there, not to mention the life of Saul, who probably needed a little bit of ministry training. And he was willing to invest that time because he saw that there was value in it. He was generous, first with his possessions, he was generous with his time. The second aspect of his life we're going to look at is that Barnabas, the encourager, was forgiving. Look now over at Acts chapter number 9. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9. To be forgiving is a very important trait for an encourager to have. We're going to read Acts chapter 9, verses number 26 and 27. Bible says, "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple." It says, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." Barnabas was a forgiving man. As I already said, this is an important trait for anybody who wants to be an encourager to have. Because it takes a very special kind of person, it takes a special kind of Christian to be able to look and see the potential in other people. Now, I think it's pretty easy for us to see the potential in the kids that we bring in on the buses. Yeah, I mean, you guys are in here in Sunday school and they're sitting on these front rows and you can hardly hear a thing when preacher gets up here to start. I mean, they're being loud and they're being rowdy and different things. But it's easy to see the potential in their lives because if you see where they came from, if they just got God in their life, if they got salvation in their life, if they got biblical principles that they started to live by, you can see the potential for growth in their life. And this is something that Barnabas was able to see. He was forgiving. We bring these kids to the church so that they have the opportunity to hear the gospel, an opportunity they might not otherwise have. You know, they're not dressed right. They don't always talk right. In fact, you hear that some of the things coming out of some of these 8 and 9 and 10-year-olds' mouths, they can outcuss sailors. But we seem to be able to look straight through that because we can see the potential of them being able to come to a saving knowledge of Christ. And we can forgive things because we see potential in them. But it's a little bit harder for us to see potential in people that are maybe a little bit more unsavory. You know, we're here in Akron. Let's be honest. There's all sorts of people walking around that when you see them, you want to cross to the other side of the street. I mean, there's folks around here that worry me. And I'm not saying you have to be foolish and walk right up to anybody and whatever else. You know, be wise, but how often do we just kind of look down a long Christian nose at somebody that is, I don't want to say down on their luck, but somebody that obviously is in need of Christ, somebody that obviously is going through issues, somebody that obviously is in the throes of some sort of drug abuse or alcohol abuse or even different situations that come up in people's lives, but we see potential in these kids, but we don't maybe see potential in some of these unsavory folks. But the fact is, as we look at Barnabas, it's because Barnabas saw the potential in Saul that many of us can call ourselves Christians today. Verse number 26 says, when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he wanted to join the church. He essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. Now, Saul, who later became Paul, he was the missionary to the Gentiles. I don't think there's anybody in here who's of Jewish descent, right? I don't think there's anybody in here. So Paul ended up living a life as a missionary to the Gentiles. So we could, honestly, I think for most of us, could say that we owe, if you traced it back, we owe ourselves having heard the gospel to Paul going out to the Gentile world. I mean, God would have used some other method of getting it out there, but Paul was willing to be obedient and go out and preach to the Gentiles. As a Jew himself, as a Jew among Jews, he was a Pharisee among Pharisees. He had every right not to go to the Gentiles because he was so well trained to go to the Jews, but that's where God sent him and he obeyed, he followed. And Barnabas saw that kind of potential in this man named Saul. When Saul attempted to join himself to the church, he was rejected for good reason because this is a man who persecuted and killed Christians. I mean, when he had his conversion on the road to Damascus, he was going there with letters of authority to go and imprison and kill people. Kill Christians. That was this man that Barnabas is now bringing in and saying, bring him in. I saw what he did in Damascus. He preached unto the people there boldly. He's a true follower of Christ now. He was willing to forgive all the things that Paul had done, or that Saul had done, rather. And he saw the potential in him. You know, it wouldn't be beyond Saul, I don't think. I mean, this was an educated man. He was a shrewd man. I don't think that it would be a stretch to think that his conversion was just a ruse to be able to get in and essentially capture more Christians. But Barnabas said no. He encouraged the other members of that church to take him in. He saw the potential there. He used his own influence that Saul was sincere and that he actually was desiring to join himself to them. He forgave all the egregious offenses of Saul. And this just goes to show us that if we will take the time to see the potential in somebody, if we will take the time to be forgiving of people's faults, you never know what can become of that person. You never know what investing in another person's life, taking the time to send an encouraging text, taking the time to just pray with somebody, you never know what investing in that life can do for eternity. If we really look back on it, Barnabas can essentially be credited with the entire world being evangelized by Paul. That goes back to a man who was willing to take him in, take him under his wing, and bring him to the other disciples and say, yes, he can come in. One other thing, Barnabas was forgiving. And, you know, we can see potential in these kids. We can see potential in people that are obviously unsaved and need Christ, and we can forgive them for the things that we do because we understand that they don't know better. But it's pretty hard for us as Christians sometimes to see the potential in those people that know better or should know better, but they fall. I'd like you to turn over to Acts chapter 15 here. Acts 15, we're going to read verses 35 to 39. The Bible says that Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. Now, this is one area, when it comes to forgiving folks, when it comes to encouraging people in this area, it might just be my pride, but I have a bad tendency to write folks off. But that was not the attitude that Barnabas had. You know, the whole reason that Paul and Barnabas eventually separated on their missionary journey was due to a disagreement over this Christian brother. It was due to a disagreement over John Mark, who had deserted them at one point. And Barnabas, being the encourager that he is, wants to go and take him and bring him along and encourage him and kind of rebuild and restore this relationship. But I tend to be more like Paul was in this. And honestly, I think that's the more natural fleshly reaction, is that, you know, John Mark was a man he should have known better. He shouldn't have gone and deserted them. You know that this person knows better. They know that, you know, these people know better. I have a lot of friends that are not living in a way that I would approve of anymore. I know a lot of teenagers that were a little bit younger than me even when I was in college that are just, they're out living not necessarily wicked lives, but they're not doing anything. And some of the things that they do, you just have to wonder why. I know that you were raised the same way that I was raised. Why are you dressing like that? Why are you posting this on social media? Why are you drinking alcohol now? What makes you think that any of this is okay? And where I have a tendency to write them off, a man like Barnabas, a Christian like Barnabas, would have forgiven them. Because he was willing to be generous with his time. He was willing to make that kind of investment. He was willing to be forgiven or forgiving of the things that these people had done, like what John Mark had done. You know, who knows the reasons that people leave what they know? I have no idea why people do what they do. I just don't. People are a mystery to me. And the fact is that it's easier for us to write those people off and just move on with our lives. Because it hurts to try to bring people back into the fold of the church. It hurts to try to restore people. And it takes an investment, and that investment can be the most frustrating thing in the world, because people will always be people, and people will make decisions that don't make any sense to you, and people will continue to hurt you by making those poor decisions. But Barnabas was the type of man who was willing to put in the work to restore that Christian brother. He proved that time and time again with Paul, as we already saw. He brought Paul into the fold. And then he proved it now with John Mark. And this passage says that the contention between the two was sharp. So I imagine that their opinions were on complete opposite ends of the spectrum. You know, I imagine Barnabas is trying to plead with Paul, bring him back, let us work with him. We can restore this Christian brother to a position of service. And Paul is just, no, he's useless. He deserted us. He ditched it. Forget him. But I have to thank God for people like Barnabas, who is willing to restore a man like John Mark. And you know what? Later on, Paul, as he was writing to the churches in the region of Galatia, writing in the book of Galatians, the Holy Spirit spurred him on to write Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1, where later on, his attitude seems to have turned around, because he said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So later on, where he was sharply in contention with Barnabas about bringing this young man and saying, no, get him out of here, I don't want him to come. Later on, this attitude softened, and he softened his treatment towards those who fell away. Not towards sin, but towards the sinner. You know what? He even came eventually to see the value in John Mark yet again. He said that John Mark was profitable to him for the ministry. And the reason that John Mark was profitable again eventually, after ditching them at one point, I believe was in large part due to the fact that a man like Barnabas forgave him for his sin and then came along and was generous and made the investment in his life and encouraged him lovingly to come back and to serve God yet again. Now turn back with me to Acts chapter number 11. We're going to spend the rest of our time in here. I'm going to read verses 21 through 26. We've already seen some of them. But we're going to spend the rest of our time here because in these few verses, we're going to see a couple more characteristics that made Barnabas the encouragement that he is. And a lot of these, they're kind of related to one another. They're going to overlap a little bit, but it's worth putting a name to some of these traits that we see here in this passage. So Acts chapter 11, verse number 21, it says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church that was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purposeful heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." The third trait I'd like to look at Barnabas to the encourager is that he was a selfless individual. He was sent to these people at Antioch. He was sent to this church, and when he saw what God was doing there, he rejoiced with them. He was glad along with them. There was not a hint of jealousy with a man like Barnabas. There's not a hint of jealousy with somebody who is an encourager. He was not going to be bitter about having to go and take up the work that others had started in this city rather than maybe starting the work himself. And he was glad that they had success in seeing others reach the lost, and he was happy to come behind and to do what is arguably the much harder work of organizing this new body of believers at Antioch into a church. You know, this work that Barnabas and Saul did in Antioch, it was difficult work in a pagan city. But Barnabas didn't go about it with any bitterness about being placed in the trenches. Because Barnabas was an encourager. He wasn't seeking his own glory, he was seeking the glory of God. You know, it would have been easy to build the foundation of these new believers on him. It would have been easy for him to kind of install himself as the leader, but he didn't do this. He didn't try to build this church based on his own charisma. He didn't try to build this church based on his own personality. I'm sure he was a friendly guy. I'm sure he was nice. But what he did was he selflessly pointed other people to Christ, and he exhorted them to cleave unto the Lord. Because what he was after as an encourager wasn't power, it wasn't prestige. What he wanted was the kingdom of God to advance. And as a Christian, that ought to be your desire. You ought to desire to see the kingdom of God advance. It can be easy for us to let any position that we have of service to cause us to look on ourselves with pride because of what we are doing to serve God. Actually, at Old Paths, there was a preacher who mentioned, he taught at a college for many years. His name is Mike Johnson. He taught at a college in California. And he said that there was a young man in one of his classes one time who asked him, how do you avoid being proud in the ministry? And he said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I preach a salvation. I have a salvation that I couldn't earn that was given to me. I preach from a book that I didn't write. And everything that I do is done in the power of God. And it's not my own power. What is there to be proud about?" And that was the attitude that Barnabas had. But we'll get lifted up in pride because we think, man, we're doing God this favor. But no, we're just repaying a debt that he gave us salvation. He gave us his son. We owe him everything. And so why would we get lifted up in pride? When we do get lifted up in pride, our service begins to be as unto men and not unto God. You know what? When you have pride in your area of service, then that's your reward. The people that are trying to be encouragement and saying, "Hey, good job," that's your reward. Your reward isn't in heaven. God's not going to reward something that's done in pride. Barnabas worked in this city. And verse 24 says that much people were added unto the Lord. And the fact is that Barnabas probably could have stayed here in Antioch for the rest of his life. He was successful at the work that he was sent to do there, and nobody would have questioned if he had stayed because there was stuff that was getting done. There was success happening there. But after he worked there for a year in establishing this body of believers, Barnabas went to Tarsus to seek Saul. And I don't know what his motive was for going to get Saul. Maybe it was that he needed help, or maybe it was that he wanted to train Saul. Or maybe that he just remembered this man that he had helped the church at Jerusalem to accept, and he said, "You know what, there's something in that guy that would help me here in Antioch." But whatever the reason, you can rest assured that Barnabas brought Saul over because he knew it was what was going to be best for those believers there in Antioch. And it's obvious that it was the best thing for these believers because they grew to a point that here at Antioch was when people were first called Christians. And I'd like to point out that that is the effect that being an encouragement can have on a church, can have on a church family. Because Barnabas pointed people to the Lord, because he encouraged them to emulate Christ, these people began to resemble their Savior so much that the people around them in the city started to call them by this name of derision. You know, being called a Christian was not, it was not a term of endearment in those days. It was marking them for what they were. But they began to resemble Christ so much that they began to be called by his name. And Barnabas had done the work there, and he had helped them to accomplish the same thing that he had done in living a life that was Christ-like. And just like he earned the name Barnabas, the son of consolation, Barnabas the encourager, they earned the name Christian because Christ was so much a part of them. It was so much how they acted, how they lived. The fourth thing I'd like to look at Barnabas the encourager, you know, we saw that he was generous. We've seen that he was forgiving. We've seen that he was selfless. One last point I'd like to make is that he was normal. You know, I really like the book of Acts. You know, you read through the book of Acts, and it's like an action book. There's always something happening. It reads like a novel. It's a fun book to read. But a lot of times, I think we look at the Bible and read it like it's a fairy tale, and you don't actually stop and think, man, these things actually happened. These people actually did this, especially some of the crazy stories in the Old Testament, things that happened. We read the Bible like a fairy tale, and we attribute almost a godlike status to these characters in the Bible. But the reality is that they were just normal people. Now, it's obvious to me that Barnabas had the spiritual gift of exhortation or encouragement, as we see in Romans chapter 12, verse number 8. But other than that, there was really nothing that was remarkable or all that different about Barnabas. He wasn't an apostle. He was just a church member. He was an early church member. And we see in the scriptures that he was a good man. But the reality is that he had nothing that we can't possess ourselves. Because if you are a Christian, the same Holy Spirit that dwelt in Barnabas, the same God that he worked for, is the same God that you worked for. It's the same Holy Spirit that dwells in you. He was a normal man. His faith wasn't superhuman. His faith wasn't necessarily supernatural. There wasn't some quality about him that made him different. His faith was just simply placed in a living God, and he lived his life in service to God. And he lived his life in service to others as an encourager. And so as we conclude tonight, I'd say this. Like I said, we've talked a lot about our church as a family lately. And one element of that is to be an encouragement to one another. And that goes as far as every single relationship within the church. Siblings, be there for your siblings. Encourage them when they're having a tough day. Spouses, be there for your spouse when they're having a tough day. Church members, just be there for other church members when you see somebody's having a tough time. Talk to one another. Get to know one another. See what is going on in people's lives to a point where you can offer a word of encouragement. Where you can not offer unsolicited advice, but where you can talk about things if people need to talk about things. Barnabas was an encourager. You're commanded to be an encourager. So let's not forget to add this, these different aspects that we've seen to each and every one of our lives. Be forgiving, be generous with your time, be willing to invest in others. Live a selfless kind of Christianity. And then just be a normal Christian that has a faith in a very extraordinary God. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this night. God, I don't believe I've done this topic justice about being an encourager. If we would just get the idea in our head that if we just lived for you unto other people, and we just manifested your love that you have shown us towards the people that surround us, if we loved them selflessly, and if we forgave them for their faults, and we worked like this man that you've written about in your word, worked to restore other people, we would see amazing things happen like these people that were called Christians because they were so Christ-like. Their lives so resembled you that people started to call them by your name. And God, I wonder how often we don't do justice to the fact that we call ourselves Christians. Lord, I pray you'd help each and every one of us as we go forth from this place So try to be an encouragement to someone this week. Lord, someone we know that's hurting, Lord, we've heard different prayer requests, different folks that we know of that are hurting, that have health issues and that have different needs that are going on and different unspoken requests, Lord. I pray that you'd help us as a church and as a family, a body of believers here, to show that love to one another through encouraging one another. We thank you for your word, Lord. I pray you bless us all as we go from this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.